This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All righty then. Hopefully you've survived the ice storm and you're listening, whether you're at home from canceled work plans or whatever. Hopefully you drove safely to wherever you needed to travel. If you had to travel today, we are here for your listening and viewing pleasure for the next 2 hours because we were able to get in no real crazy issues with respect to the roads, although the Walden Avenue entrance ramps to the thruway, Steve, which is what I take to get to work every day, they're both closed.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to shoot down Union and hop on the William Street ramp to get on the thruway to come here to Orchard Park. So, you know, some minor road closures, and I'm sure there have been some spin-outs today. But
yeah, I made a quick dash to the airport earlier today to drop a friend off whose flight had been canceled yesterday. So we did that, and it was – now I came back on the 90, and it seemed okay. I don't think there's any – and it doesn't seem like there's lighter traffic because of the weather.
Yeah.
But,
and I think what's helping, too, is a lot of the schools are closed. It's winter break.
It's winter break.
That obviously helps, and, you know, you don't have to chalk up another snow day or an ice day because most of the kids aren't in school right now.
This has kind of been like a winter – you know, usually you get, you know, snowstorm every couple of weeks or every week or two, and you know, you kind of move along with winter. Man, they're like – historic storm,
little spurts of
weekend,
major
weekend before
things.
Thanksgiving, we got hammered. Christmas weekend, we got hammered, and now this is a different kind of storm, and we're getting hammered.
Yeah,
and this isn't going away quick either. You can say you got a like couple inch of ice.
We have almost 2 inches of ice.
Really,
we got a lot.
We do not have them. I'm in down in Orchard Park, EA, or down here in EA Orchard Park. We got like a quarter inch,
right around. I want to say like 6 p.m. was when it changed over, and it didn't stop at my house till about 11.
Yeah.
So we had like 5 hours of that freezing rain stuff.
We got back to my house last night at about 8:30. No, that's not right. 6, yeah, 8:30. That's right. And the tracks from my vehicle going into my garage were still there this morning, and the vehicle when I left zero tracks because the ice was so thick. It didn't even crack the ice.
Yeah. I had one of my cars outside the garage because in the garage is my car that's got a spare tire on it right now due to a flat, and I got to take it in next week.
Perfect timing.
So my daughter's car, which is home, is the one my wife's using right now. Well, that one's outside last night.
Oh, man.
So, you know, she's got to run some errands today or whatever, do some work. So I'm trying to take care of it before I leave. And let's just say the plastic ice scraper was not in the right weight class for this matchup. There was like an inch and a half of ice on the windshield. So I've got the heat blasting with the defrost, the rear defogger, the works. So I'm like, look, this is what I'm going to do. Instead of chiseling this entire car, I'm just going to get the windshield taken care of, and I'll pull my car out to go to work, and then I'll pull that one into the garage, and it'll be warmer in the garage. It'll melt. A lot of the rest of it will melt.
Right, just switch places.
Yeah, so I'm like, what do I use? Like, my plastic, and I got a heavy-duty, like,
two-handed,
big extension arm.
Yeah, like we all do, right?
Yeah.
You got to have it, right?
I got this big jobber, and I'm like, all right, this is not working.
Let's go!
I'm going to snap this thing in half. So I'm like, I don't want to use anything big because I don't want to crack the windshield.
Right.
So I decide on a garden trowel.
Weapon of choice.
Okay. So I'm just kind of gently chipping away at it. I said, I just need a starting point here.
Right.
And then I can slide the trowel under it and then lift the rest of it off.
Right.
That took a good 10, 15 minutes. But with the heat pumping inside combined with my chipping on the top, I finally got it done. Now I just got to hope the rest of it melted inside the garage.
You know what we should have done? We should have gone into a darkness isolation chamber
a day yesterday, or
the day before.
Not that it's provided any more clarity, apparently, just yet.
Right. That guy.
Aaron Rodgers you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy.
He's out.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out of the dark.
He's out of the room that had a light switch in it, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, so you read that whole thing, too?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was some pretty deep stuff, you know. People getting to their spiritual center, you know, the deeper regions of their inner
soul. There is a light switch in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was reading along and I kind of came to that line.
Why did he take three books in with him so he could read the books while he was there? Oh, it's going to be completely
Well, he can put the lights on.
Oh. Okay.
Anytime he wants. Yeah. He's free to do that. I found it interesting that the owner of the place said that he knows going in which of his clients are going to get more out of it than others. And he bases it on people that come there determined to accomplish it as a feat, 4 days in the dark, you know, isolation,
right,
no light. They see it as a challenge, like a, I don't know, some kind of survivalist challenge,
right,
or something.
I get it.
I mean, if you see the pictures on ESPN.com, it's a pretty swanky cave, I'm just going to say.
Right.
You got a queen bed in there, a meditation mat, and a toilet.
It's like a nice hotel room.
Right. Did you, now that I'm thinking about it, did you see a shower in there? Because I didn't. I don't know if
it's a tub, not a shower.
A tub. Okay.
Yeah.
So they can wash. All right. I was thinking 4 days might be a little ripe coming out of there. Definitely change the sheets for the next person. So
how does he know?
So he says if people go in there looking at it like a feat to accomplish, like, I'm going to do 4 days in the complete darkness. Wait till you see this. They're not going to get anything out of it.
Right.
He said, the people that get the most out of it are just looking to isolate themselves in their own thoughts without any outside distractions whatsoever to gain clarity on whatever it is in their life they need clarity on. And it was interesting because they, in the story, they interviewed a long-distance triathlete. You know, he's like one of those super, like, Iron Man guys.
Yeah, ultimate endurance.
Yeah, ultimate endurance trainer. Yeah. And he, I don't know, I guess he found his, he said, I've never been so in touch with my inner soul as I am when I came out of there. So, okay, great. I mean, if that helps you find, you know, the gooey center.
Right.
Great, you know. I guess for some people it really works. Okay, you know, I'm not going to knock it.
Yeah.
It just, okay. I know we poked fun at Aaron Rodgers, you know, going into the dark and all of this stuff.
And then
he does this stuff. He finds something new every year. But this guy is booked at this place months. He's building seven new darkness rooms because of demand. He's out in Southern Oregon somewhere. Whatever. In the woods.
That's awesome. I got too much to do to sit.
I'd be willing to bet that 95% of his clientele is from the state of California. Would you not?
Well, he's in Southern Oregon, so I imagine he's got some locals.
Not just because of proximity, if you know what I'm saying.
It seems to be a more California thing.
They seem to be a little.
You don't think that
deeper into
you don't
the kumbaya
think that would,
stuff?
You don't think that would fly in downtown New York or in Boston?
Get the hell out of here!
That's right.
Right. That's why I'm saying.
Where I grew up,
you got
where
no nonsense people. In
yeah,
Kansas.
They're like,
get
what?
The job
you
done up at the sunrise. You know,
who's
dinner
gonna,
at five.
Who's going to do your stuff for 4 days?
Yeah.
Who's going to do your work for 4 days?
The farm work doesn't do itself.
That's right. That who's going to milk the cows?
Right, cows are going to explode.
Right,
somebody's got to take care of them.
Let me say this. Now more than ever, after we talk about this and you got to get the idea, now more than ever, I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to stay right where he's at. Because
we kind of felt that way going into the darkness room.
Yes, because here's the thing. If you're the Jets, you're going to get it. If you come back and has a great year next year, you make the play. Let me say this.
Well, you're going to part with assets, too, to get him.
You're not going to win a Super Bowl in year one with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think.
Okay.
That's a big ask. They did it with Tom Brady in Tampa. Okay. There's precedent for it. But you got to think, man, the chances are that we get better. Maybe they get in the playoffs, and maybe that's what they're shooting for. But what happens next offseason when he goes into, like, a cold tub for 4 days or whatever it's going to be, right?
Comes out a prune.
Right. What are you going to do when he goes to the Antarctic for a week? Whatever.
I was thinking Antarctica in my head as you said that. That was amazing.
He's going to go to a monastery in Tibet on a mountainside, right? Wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And he comes out of that after 3 or 4 days and says, you know what? I'm done.
Because you got to think, it has always seemed every single year when he does the hushka, what was it he did last year?
The ayahuasca cleanse.
The ayahuasca cleanse.
Well, pre-COVID, he went down to Peru. He almost got stuck there when COVID shut the world down.
So he does this every year, and it seems, and he always makes it seem like it's a real possibility that he'll pull the ripcord and say, I'm done. What are you going to do if that happens next? After you trade all this stuff, he comes in, goes off to a Tibetan monastery, and never comes back.
Right. I think the reason he comes, and it's funny that people are even entertaining the fact that he might retire. I got 59 million guarantees why he's not going to retire this year.
Well,
the guy gets 59 million guaranteed this year. There ain't no way in hell he's retiring. He is playing.
And I'll say this, too. If they trade him, he's not going to throw too much of a fit either.
That's fine. Whatever.
Right. So
I don't know if I'd be too thrilled about going to the Jets knowing I could win my division half asleep in Green Bay.
That's true.
I might be a little ticked. Although the verbal tete-a-tete in post-game media sessions between the New York media and Aaron Rodgers, now that's must-see TV.
That's must-see TV. Yeah,
that would be good. Now, here's the thing that made me chuckle, because I was thinking about this on the way into work. All this, you know, off-season drama,
right,
for lack of a better term, with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to a darkness retreat to find his inner soul and decide what his path should be for the rest of his football career and beyond. And Tua Tagovailoa is taking judo so he knows how to fall right. You can't be on two further ends of the spectrum than those two cats. I mean, Tua, we just need you to fall right. Aaron, do what you got to do, bro.
I got to man, we've seen it all.
Quarterbacks rule the world in the offseason, don't they?
It's so bad.
And the trades and all the quarterback movement the last 3 years has only amplified it.
Tua is what he is. He's an undersized, limited physically quarterback, ultra accurate with his throwing arm, and he's on time, and he's got some things he brings to the table, no question.
Anticipation thrower.
So you got this guy Bryce Young, who makes Tua Tagovailoa look like Hulk Hogan, and Bryce Young's the next guy out.
Who
is also coming out of the same college program where he had better athletes at every position than anybody's playing. And
you could say the same thing about C.J. Stroud from Ohio State.
Yes, you can.
I mean, he's got two tackles that are going to probably go in the first and second round this year.
Yes, that's right. So there's those guys out there. Yeah, the world is driven by the quarterback position in the National Football League in the offseason. I mean, and we see so much. We said it yesterday when we had our boy Brad Spielberger on. We talk about these positions like wide receivers, like, well, he'll plug in here, he's good here, he's good. But when we start talking about these quarterbacks, it becomes a soap opera. Tua's got to learn how to fall because he's got this health issue. Aaron Rodgers is this Zen master Yoda kind of wild donkey of a guy who is unaccountable to anybody out there. And you got like Josh, who's this, you know, yellow lab kind of guy, is out there on the golf course chasing tennis balls, right? I mean, just couldn't be happier, you know. Pat Mahomes, new baby, new family, young family. You know, all this stuff is, when you get these quarterbacks in here, it becomes a TV show.
It is a TV show. Netflix is doing a whole special on that called The Quarterback.
I forgot about
it. It is a TV show.
They get total behind
Patrick Mahomes,
oh my gosh.
Marcus Mariota, and somebody else. I can't even remember the third guy. But,
it's amazing.
It's a streaming show.
It's amazing how differently we treat those guys. Their personality is important for those guys. Nobody else cares about, you know, like OBJ, you know, Diggs. They get a little play when they spout off or whatever, you know. But nobody else cares what kind of guy anybody else is except quarterbacks.
Right.
They have to have a personality that we know and understand. You know, even if it's weirdo like Rodgers seems to be with this stuff he does in the off seasons, right? Even if it's stuff we don't understand and don't get.
Or the villain, you know, if there's a villain out there.
That's right. Like Joe Burrow.
Well,
everybody,
for a lot of us, Tom Brady was the villain. Not by his choice, by ours.
And even now,
won so much.
Think about him. Well, he's gone now, but just like that. It is the weirdest
phenomenon about the NFL that the quarterbacks are characters instead of players, and the rest of the guys are players without character. you know what I mean? They're like bland. They're like skill sets.
On the popular news landscape,
they're like plug this guy over here. He'll be fine. Just don't forget about him. But all the quarterbacks are like these characters that have to fit into this Game of Thrones kind of thing.
Game of Thrones. And meanwhile, the one that's going to top them all is what the hell happens with Lamar Jackson. That's going to top all of them.
Oh, my gosh. He come on March, was it March 7th?
Is
he becomes
deadline.
A free agent.
Well, no, March 7th is the deadline to tag him.
Right, he's not going to become a free agent.
He would officially become a free agent on March 15th if nothing happens. I can't see the Ravens doing that. That's just not the way they roll.
Well, that's
they don't let people get away for nothing
right.
unless they know they're going to get 17 compensatory picks.
They'll franchise him.
To get 2 third-rounders or 3 third-rounders for Lamar Jackson as compensatory still isn't enough as far as I'm concerned.
No, they could trade him for way more than that today by just picking up the phone.
Right.
The drama is unbelievable, and you go, and even Lamar, as quiet as he is, he's being represented by his mom, himself and his mom.
Yeah, I guess from what we've seen from
there really is game. We should do a Game of Thrones series on all of this, man. This is unbelievable.
I'm gonna surprise you and shock you here. Never watched it.
Yeah, well,
Game of Thrones. Never watched it.
It's a commitment. I'll say that.
There is coordinator news as positions are still even now. Being filled across the league, Vance Joseph is going back to the Denver Broncos as defensive coordinator under new head coach Sean Payton. Joseph, some might remember, is a former head coach of the Broncos, 2017, 2018.
And 4 years ago.
And he went 11-21 before he was fired. And now he goes back. I got to imagine, that's pretty rare, Steve. A guy that's been a head coach somewhere goes back to the same place as a coordinator?
Dom Capers just went back to Carolina.
Right.
Not as a coordinator, though. As a senior defensive consultant or whatever.
But you're right. It's got to be pretty rare. I can't think. Because most of the guys, the ego gets in the way. I'm not going back there. They didn't think I was good enough for them as a head coach. Why the hell would I go back as a coordinator?
Right.
I mean, and as you said, there's only 5 years removed from when he got fired as the head coach up there. I mean, people can be like, oh, yeah, we're bringing that guy back?
He stunk.
He was good as a coordinator. I'll give him that.
Right. And he
because I think
been.
He was promoted from within. I want to say he was on the Broncos staff.
Wait, I don't know if that sounds right to me.
I got to look that up now.
We'll look it up. But yeah, you're right. He was not a good head coach there. He didn't come across to me as a very strong leader. And the team was not good under him. And that's, you know.
Oh, he was defensive coordinator in Miami. Okay.
Right.
I see. And then he got the head coaching job with the Broncos.
Right. And since then, he's been the Arizona Cardinals coordinator.
The last 4 years.
Yeah, last 3 years. 2021.
Last four years under Cliff Kingsbury.
So, yeah, that's
that doesn't happen often.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because think about all the coaches that have cycled through here, you know, the head coaches.
And it's being reported, not by us, but by somebody else, that Adam Henry is now the new wide receivers head coach.
Yeah, that report came out a little while back. It hasn't been confirmed by the team. I would imagine that next week at the Combine, perhaps head coach Sean McDermott confirms the new additions to the coaching staff. Joe Dana was confirmed as new safeties coach, but Adam Henry as wide receivers coach, Al Holcomb as a senior defensive assistant, and I don't believe assistant offensive line coach has been filled with the reports that Ryan Wendell left to go be the O-line coach with the Rams. So, yeah, there are even still holes here to be confirmed on Buffalo's coaching staff. And maybe those get confirmed next week out at the NFL Combine when Coach McDermott addresses the media. This one was interesting, Steve, because we have talked about this club every year when problems arise. The Chargers parted ways this week with head trainer Damon Mitchell, who had performed the job for 6 seasons and had been with the organization for 24 years. Chargers will now have a new head trainer, new offensive coordinator, and new defensive coordinator this coming season. Kellen Moore is their new OC coming over from Dallas. That was a good get as far as I'm concerned. Derek Ansley, who had been their defensive backs coach, is expected to be promoted to defensive coordinator there in L.A. for the Chargers. But, Steve, we talked about it year after year after year. The injuries that that franchise incurs every year has to be near the top of the list, cumulatively over a long stretch of time, like 8-10 years. They always have guys on IR, big guys, important guys, and it happened again this year.
It's like the Maple Leafs losing playoff series. It happens every year.
And you and I have talked on this show and said time and again, they really have to do an internal audit of their strength
That's
and conditioning,
right. That's exactly
their medical staff, and their athletic training staff, and it looks like they finally have found what they believe to be the culprit.
Or at least they're going to try something.
And their head athletic trainer is out.
Up until this last year, the Bills have been very healthy throughout the Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean era. Year after year after year, they've been really healthy. Now, that's part of why they built this building on the end of the field house here, too. I'll say it again. It's not only a state-of-the-art facility and all the hardware and the weights, and it looks kind of cool, you know, and it's kind of enticing. You know, it's a recruiting tool. It's the staff inside. It's the people here that are the difference. They treat these guys like constantly keeping them healthy and getting them back and recovering and supplementing and doing all the whole thing, rehabbing and post-rehab and prehab and all that
prehab.
Stuff.
Prehab, that's one of the big things that they
it's
do
It's all
here.
That stuff. They do it constantly here, and the club has reaped a lot of benefit from it, and I'm sure that it's not free. And there's probably some clubs that balk and then listen, let these guys take care of themselves. They know themselves, you know what I mean? And there's probably a lot of
massage therapists on site. They have acupuncturists on site.
Cold chambers, cryo chambers, hyperbaric chambers.
Red light therapy.
All of this stuff is in-house.
Sleep pods.
That it's all in-house. And that makes a big difference because for a long time, and people even listening can imagine, you know, the guys that are making big money, you know, quarterbacks and the guys that are making multi-million dollars a year, they can afford to have that done themselves. They'll just go out and get their own acupuncturist. They'll go buy a hyperbaric chamber. They'll have access to a cryo chamber. They'll do all this stuff on their own. But the club here makes more of that available to the entire roster so that all the guys are as healthy and fresh and ready to go on Sunday as they are. And not, I've said it too. It's not only about getting them on the field on Sunday. It's about making them available so they can practice and prepare to play well on Sunday. So they're better during the week as well. And that all trickles down into the fact that you got a team that stays healthier for 17 games and the playoffs. It makes a big difference. Now, you can always get snake bit like the Bills did this year. But I think it just goes to show some clubs commit their funds and their resources to certain things and others commit their funds and resources to other things, and the difference comes out in a myriad of symptoms that make these clubs different from each other. One of them's injuries to the roster every year, every guy, you know, all of them. And then other teams, it's something else. But it's really interesting to see because while we all tend to think of these 32 teams as being, you know, kind of the same. Same budget, same, you know what I mean? The differences sometimes are subtle but make big differences in the product. You know, it's the subtle differences make vast differences in the outcome. And it's interesting. It's really one of the interesting things. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody study that kind of thing. But it becomes obvious when you talk about this. The Chargers have made the decision. It's maybe part of the problem is the way these guys are getting treated in-house. Let's make a change. Yeah. I think it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, and we anticipate having Chargers GM Tom Telesco on the show next week at the Combine as well. So it'll be interesting to have a discussion with him about that very subject as it looks like. They turned the page in a lot of ways. And think about that, Steve. There's a team that made the playoffs, had a horrific loss, a history-making one, as a matter of fact, as far as playoffs go, and a comeback loss. And they changed the OC, they changed the DC, and they changed their head athletic trainer. So some big changes there. Maybe not so much on the defensive side of the ball because they promoted from within, or at least they're expected to. I don't know if they've announced it yet. But on the offensive side, they said, yeah, what we're doing is not good enough. We got to be better. We're going to make the change now. And one of the questions we'll have for the Chargers GM next week at the Combine will be, how much is that scheme changing for right. Justin Herbert?
Right.
Because that's a big question.
Right. Yeah. Herbie's he can sling it. You go down and stand on the sidelines and watch teams warm up. And there's only there, and as you can imagine, there may be, well, I can think one, Justin Herbert, who is kind of physically, and when you watch him throw it and sling it, the ball is comes out like it does with Josh Allen. It's a small list of guys who have that kind of physical ability, the size, the stature, and the arm. Herbert's one of them. And they got to get, they've got to ride that guy. And if he, and if they're going to change the scheme on him coming in this year, that's a big move for a team mm-hmm. when you don't really have to do it. The head coach is the same. You could, you know what I mean? And now sometimes they'll bring a new coordinator in and they'll have him learn the vocabulary of the old offense and put it in his new offense. That's a make even that makes the transition better for the quarterback. But still, the philosophical change is something you got to get your mind around as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see.
We have a topic of discussion for you today. It involves a dream scenario, and we're not talking about winning the lottery or something like that. We want to know, what is your one dream off-season move for the Bills? Could be a little pie in the sky. Maybe it doesn't work financially, but what the hell? We're dreaming today. So you lay it on us. What's your one dream off-season move for the Bills? 716-803-0550, the local number to get on board. 1-888-550-2550, the toll-free number if you're outside the calling area. Or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet at OneBillsLive. Dream off-season move. Think big here.
But only one. We can't say this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah. We don't want a list. We want one answer and nothing more. So you can hit us up at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Steve and I will share some of ours when we return. We take a break here, but your phone calls coming your way next, along with your tweets, here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Asking you today on this Thursday, what's your dream off-season move for the Bills? Think big. Going to have a little fun with this, even if it's completely unrealistic. why not, right? We're going to have a little fun. So we're going to go to the phones, and that's where we begin today. Leading us off is Matt in Williamsville. What do you got for us, Matt? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. I missed the part originally when you said, even if it's outrageous and ridiculous, mine's more of a small cap-friendly move, but I think bringing back Bobby Trees on a, to help the receiver room out on a very cap-friendly small contract and then crush the draft.
Yeah, that's an approach that is very realistic.
Who?
Robert Woods.
Oh,
Bobby
yeah,
Trees.
Yeah. Bobby Trees.
Sorry.
That's what the kids call him these days, Steve. Got to keep up with the lingo, my friend. Yeah, no, Matt, that's a very reasonable and realistic acquisition, I think. I don't think Robert Woods is going to be pulling down top of the market money by any stretch. Probably could still be, I'm just going to guess, I'm going to say $8 to $10 million a year range. Maybe a little bit less. He is age 32.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about when Beasley was brought here, he was entering, I want to say, his age 31 season when he first signed here. And he got a 3-year deal for like $24 million, if I remember right. So I would think probably up around 10 for a 32-year-old nowadays is probably right around the right number, give or take. So you do that, and you get another receiver in the draft, bingo, bango, boingo, and, you know,
yeah.
you got a much deeper arsenal for Josh Allen to work with.
Right. And that goes without saying that they need to crush the draft, and that doesn't mean just for receivers or it means offensive linemen, it means
sure.
defensive linemen, it means all that stuff. They need some get some contributors. And I know this too. You say that, and then, you know, the cynic in all of us says, well, they're not going to play those rookies anyway, because look at the rookies we got last year, and it took them forever to get it. You know, if they're going 13-3, I don't care who's playing. And that was fine with me. You know, I'm not going to get into the style points argument again either about how they were going 13-3 in the midst of the season. People were – the biggest thing we had to complain about was it didn't make us feel good enough when they won, you know. So – so
how come we didn't win by 30?
Exactly. So I'm they're good. If they get guys that can play, those guys are going to play. That's all there is to it. So, crushing the draft would be awesome.
Let's go back to the phones and to Gene in Dunkirk. What do you got for us, Gene?
So, yeah, mine's a little more outlandish, but I heard a couple of months ago that the Cardinals were wanting to trade Hopkins, and I couldn't think of a better number two next to Diggs other than DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to beat it, right? I mean, even though he's on the wrong side of 30 now, he still can go up and snare that thing, even with people draped all over him.
Yeah.
He's got meat hooks for hands. I mean, yes. His hands are like 12 inches.
His hands are the size of your laptop.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They're big. So, yeah, that's why he grabs it so well. Yeah, I would go for that. That's a great one.
Be interesting to see what the compensation would be.
A guy like him or D-Hop or, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, or go down the list of A.J. Brown and, you know, all those guys that are out there that he's big, huge, strong number one receivers. Yeah, those guys are awesome. If you get one of those somehow, some way to put on the other side of Diggs, you're a handful right away. That's a good one. I like it.
He has 2 years left on his current contract, DeAndre Hopkins does. He's entering his age 31 season. So he's only a year older than Diggs. And he's got $19.5 in base salary, which is what the Bills would incur if they acquired a player like that. So they'd have to do something about that. They'd have to probably redo his deal. And knowing that the Cardinals are looking to unload salary themselves, you would think that that would require the other party to give up less. Hey, we're helping you alleviate your books of a cost-prohibitive contract. We're not going to give you that. We'll give you this. And, you know, see if you can get a quote-unquote better deal, bargain, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, that would that would change the conversation precipitously, for sure. Let's try Ty in Buffalo next. What do you got for us, Ty?
You want to call it. Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need DeAndre Hopkins because he can help us go down the field to get Diggs open.
Yeah, look at you. He's quickly become a popular name, DeAndre Hopkins, and I understand why. Yeah, it's a matter of making the money do the work for you, and you may have to part with a player and a big salary to make that work, Steve. You know, I know we have bandied about the name Ed Oliver just because he's got a big number. He's in the last year of his deal, but we do know the Arizona Cardinals want to completely revamp their defense, which was 31st in points allowed last year, and their defensive coordinator, or their head coach, is a former defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon from Philly. Is that a guy that he's interested in after having a defense that had a dominant defensive line? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Who knows? I wouldn't mind speaking that into existence.
Oh, yeah. Sign me up, especially for the right.
Oliver and a day three pick for D-Hop?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're
D-Hop's an amazing athlete. He's an elite receiver. Even at this point of his career, he's a problem. He catches everything, which would alleviate one of the major problems the Bills had last year is they were one of the tops in the league in drops.
Yeah.
You get the guy who – he's a great player, I think, a really great player. He's elite, comes with confidence. I think he and Diggs would be good together in the same room.
Diggs would see a lot more single coverage,
and
I'll tell you that.
And like we say, I don't know where the Arizona Cardinals are. Maybe they're way away from that, you know, that conversation. There's no way they're pushing away.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's been reports on NFL NFL.com that they're still evaluating his future in Arizona. So, yeah. You know, the GM says, hey, I'm still excited to have D-Hop on the team. But
right, but
obviously that number's big.
Under a new regime with Jonathan Gannon, new GM with Monty Ossenfort, they want to build it in their own image.
Right.
And depending on what they decide to undertake, whether it's a full teardown, if it's a full teardown, you're looking to get rid of 30-plus-year-old players because they're not still going to be there when you're good.
Right.
So maybe you trade a 31-year-old
and you
get a 24-year-old back who's still going to be around by the time you turn the corner.
And you get some stuff that makes you better faster on the turnaround.
Right.
Yeah, you get so instead of having to tear it down, spend a year tearing it down, you start building it right away instead of waiting with moves like this if you're Arizona. So, yeah, that's I know this. If there is a whisper of DeAndre Hopkins being available, the Bills will have to stand in line.
Right. Yeah, there could be a bidding war, and I think when that happens, a lot of teams often drop out because they don't want to overpay.
Unless
you already know you're going to overpay in free agency because you're competing with other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that in the trade market if you can help it.
Unless you've got something other teams can't offer, like a young D lineman.
Right.
You know, like, or whatever, name it. Or two young defensive linemen. We've got a bunch of them, right? So, and some draft picks. Yeah, that's – maybe you can come up with a package that's more attractive to the Arizona
yeah.
Cardinals than other teams.
Let's go back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Number or a line's open for you there if you want to jump on and give us your dream offseason move for the Bills. But in the meantime, we go to Dylan in Springville. What do you got for us, Dylan?
Afternoon, guys. First time caller. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, thanks for doing
great.
It. Doing well.
Funny enough, you guys were talking about trading Ed Oliver for a receiver. You're right in my ballpark, but I had a different receiver in mind.
Okay.
Trade Ed for Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos.
I'd sign up for that. I don't mind that at all. Different kind of receiver, obviously, but a guy that might help Josh an awful lot because, you know, he's more often than not short to intermediate. He's a route-running separator. You know, so he can get open early, which I think is what was sorely missing from the receiving core last season. And, you know, his size is good enough. He's like 6'1", 195. So, yeah, I mean, had 67 catches last year for almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. So, yeah, I'd sign up for that. You might have to – I don't know if it's a straight up necessarily, but I guess it could be. Jeudy's a little bit younger than Oliver, but
yeah, you got that year on the contract, the extra year to evaluate.
Right.
I don't, and it depends on what Dallas thinks of Ed Oliver's skill set. Dallas is more the kind of team that they like. They're like the Bills, and Ed Oliver's an exception to that. Even though I say he got drafted by the Bills, the Bills like traits. The Dallas Cowboys are like that too. They like big, big defensive and offensive linemen. And Ed didn't fall into that category. He's an explosive three technique. But the Cowboys could have a spot there for him in the midst of all that. So, yeah, that's an interesting take. Might be hard to get done, but, I mean, we're seeing a trend now with these calls about, you know, who they're not that interested in keeping, who callers aren't interested in keeping.
Well, I find it interesting that trade is the route that a lot of our early callers are choosing to take rather than
you're signing a free agent.
Big free agent signing we saw last year with Von Miller.
Right, or, you know, I mean, because people are out there like you could go out and sign Tony Pollard, the running back from Dallas.
Set to become a free agent, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get him, you know, sign him, that puts a horse in your backfield because that guy can go. Or same thing.
He can make plays by himself.
Same thing. Maybe Saquon Barkley is not under contract with the Giants right now. Get him. There's some outlandish running backs out there. It's fun to think about that as well. That because then that would take all the excuses away, you know, from what has been used against the Bills running game.
Right, right. What is your dream offseason move for the Bills? Think big here. And some of our early callers have. We got an open line for you at 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. And back to the phones we go, and we go to Joanne on a cell. What do you got for us, Joanne?
Hi, guys. This is my first time calling.
Oh, thanks.
I was a Buffalo Jill up until 1977. I cheered for 10 years and 98 games, and my wish for this is just a fun thing for Josh to have a round of golf with Tiger Woods.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
Look at that. Not even worried
not?
About the product
not
on the field.
Right.
We're worried more about Josh's leisure activities. Okay.
You'd better believe it. He's a good golfer, and I think it would be an exciting thing.
Yeah, it is one of his childhood heroes for sure. All right, so Joanne goes in a completely different direction that I did not anticipate. Dream offseason move is Josh and Tiger as a pairing on a I'm assuming a
pro-am.
Major golf course.
Yeah, pro-am or something. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Josh would sign up for it in a second. I know
oh, yeah.
that. Okay.
All right.
That one took me by surprise. Joanne threw me off a little bit.
I am totally here for it. If you want to, you know, go on a vacation cruise with Bills players, yeah, that's awesome. Awesome offseason move.
He just met him this past
right.
week.
Yeah.
At the Genesis Invitational.
Yeah.
And was over the moon that he got a chance to shake his hand and talk to him for a minute.
The Bills move could be you.
Yeah. There you go.
I want the Bills to sign me as a special teams player.
There you go.
Yeah.
We have to take a break, but more of your phone calls coming up next, as well as your tweets. What is your dream offseason move for the Bills? Think big. We're having fun with this thing. We're not worried about cap or anything else. To heck with it. More of your suggestions next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and taking your suggestions on what would be your dream scenario this offseason for Buffalo. What is your one dream offseason move for the Bills? We're encouraging you to just think big and not worry about the cap implications or anything else. And some have been reasonable. Some have been up there on the outlandish scale, and we don't care.
Do you have?
We're just having fun.
Do you have a realistic, an impossible, and then the ridiculous?
Yeah, it's funny because mine was more abstract. It was that the Bills find a quintessential answer for their number two receiver position. I didn't have a name in mind. It was just that's solved.
Right.
That problem is solved this
year.
I get
you. Mine is I want them to sign me as a backup quarterback so I can be in the QB room all season and win a ring.
Oh,
take
nice.
Him with me.
That would be nice. I'd sign up for
it. Wouldn't
that.
Have any pressure on me. Hold
yeah,
the clipboard.
Hold the clipboard.
Don't drop
listen,
the clipboard.
Keep the earpiece in your ear. And
dress warm on cold days.
That's right. Stay near the heater.
And keep Josh loose.
And make sure the Microsoft Surface is working.
That's right.
That's
and
really
if he throws it down.
Go get another one.
Trade it. Trade yeah. it in for him.
Go get another one.
I got you, man.
Let's go back
you want
to
some
the
Gatorade. I got you.
Yeah, let's go back.
That's me, man.
Hot chocolate.
That's what I want right there. I want to be there. I want to be that guy.
Fair enough. Let's go back.
I would have to practice, though. That stinks.
Well,
I'd be on my feet for a couple hours a day. I don't know if I want to do that.
What'd you get? Three reps in practice, maybe? That's not bad.
No, you don't get three reps. You take more than that against, but you'd be doing the.
Oh, you'd be doing scout
team.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
I don't have the arm for it.
Let's go to Ted in Lancaster next. What do you got for us, Ted?
Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How we
my
doing?
Dream offseason move for the Bills would be the Bills trading for T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah. people be going gaga for that one. And it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that he is moved, Ted, as you've probably heard, because I think Cincinnati's looking at the writing on the wall and saying, well, we can't give T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase giant second contracts. We're probably hitching our wagon to Ja'Marr Chase long term. So as T. Higgins enters the final year of his rookie deal, they got a decision to make. Are we going to keep him and keep riding along and hope we win a Super Bowl next year with both those guys on the roster? Or are we best served to trade him now, maybe get a first-round pick in return, or at least a two, and parlay that into the next T. Higgins? That's what the Minnesota right. Vikings did with Justin Jefferson after they traded Stephon
right.
Diggs.
And I'll say this, though. Brownie, and we do us all the time, and it's natural we would. Well, they just traded Steph Diggs and got Justin Jefferson.
That doesn't happen every day.
That is a roll of the dice
it
at
is.
Best.
It is.
That's a roll of a 12-sided dice, not even a 6-sided dice.
Game
That's
up.
Like, come on, man. The right guy at the right time, because there's nothing that says Justin Jefferson would have been that player if he'd have been drafted by the Bills or the Patriots or whatever, whatever. That's I get it. It looks easy.
Yeah.
But, man, it's a crapshoot. Bruce Leaf, you can't.
It's less of a crapshoot in round one. Not tremendously
I get it,
so.
But at 27, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
More than it is at six.
Mm-hmm. What was so Jefferson, the 19th pick? I think he was the 19th pick.
Even then, you know, I mean, you know how it gets. You've been here. We've sat together. You and I have sat together.
We've seen too much of this.
Oh, my gosh. You get down to 15th pick, and it's like, oh, God. Oh, they're going to take the – oh, there's going to be a run on tackles. Ah, there's going to be a run on – ah, ah. We're never going to – he's never going to make it to 27. You've been there, man.
Yeah. I don't have any hair left to lose.
I get it. The Vikings trade Steph Diggs and immediately draft Justin Jefferson and things. Well, they didn't lose anything. Plus, they got, you know, they got a cheaper Steph Diggs and the picks, right? That is dumb luck. I'll just say it.
I don't see the Bengals, as much as I like Ted's suggestion, I don't see the Bengals trading T. Higgins to another team in the AFC. I think they would much rather ship him off to an NFC club that they're probably not going to have to deal with come playoff time.
Two words. For what?
Well,
trade for what? What were they trading for?
I think
for?
The starting point is a two because T. Higgins was a high two. So, you know, if you got a team like the Texans who are drafting high and they want to rebuild the receiving core for whatever quarterback they draft, presumably at the top of round one, maybe you get a high two and – you know, maybe a three next year.
Here's this.
Maybe you get two and a
Higgins,
three.
T. Higgins was in a draft class neck deep in awesome wide receivers.
Yeah. That's part of the reason he was a two.
Yeah, exactly. He might be a one if in another year, a different draft class. So does that change the price you have to pay for him? I don't know. But the Bengals could be, I mean, they'd listen. But it comes down to what they're going to get out of him this year, and they've got a window. So he's got a year left. They don't have to pay him. And you're right, Brownie. There ain't no way they're paying him top dollar as a wideout. Joe is up.
Right. He's going to pretty much gobble up all the cap space they have.
So, they've got some problems, and it may be perfect timing to do that for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm very curious.
Gets rid
to
of
see.
A headache and a distraction.
That one has kind of flown under the radar this offseason because of all the quarterback chatter with all the different guys and Lamar and this guy and that guy and Aaron and blah, blah, blah. But that's a big decision for the Bengals, and it could change the course of their offensive productivity going forward.
I mean, I could see.
Because Hayden Hurst is a free agent as well,
right.
The tight end.
That's right. And I could say this, too. Think about this. This is also where you've seen in decades past. I don't think they do it too much anymore, but it used to be in decades past a team like Cincinnati or Buffalo or the Giants or who pick it. They'll say, okay, Joe or Phil Sims or, you know, whoever, Dan Marino, or we're going to pay you all the money you want, but watch this. We now can't afford your favorite toy. He's gone. Now it's on you. You're making the money. Make it happen. My, you know, team to say that to Joe Burrow, say, yeah, we're paying you the money. But now you got to do more with less. And that's the justification for it, the cash.
Yeah.
You could see a team like Cincinnati getting backed into a corner like that or willingly going there in order to save the cap space and all the distraction of having to pay two guys in the same season. Maybe the cash flow is not there. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I mean?
I know where you're coming from. I get it. It's a big decision for them. Absolutely huge decision for them to make this offseason. They could ride it out, keep Higgins one more year, but then he's probably gone unless you franchise him. And you're not going to franchise him.
In a year, you got to pay
Joe
Burrow.
In a year, you got to pay Jamar. No, I'm talking
Jamar.
Next year.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to franchise Higgins next year knowing you got to sign Chase anyway.
Do you put Joe off a year?
Oh, I don't think you can.
I think you do it like the day
of. I got to two straight AFC title games and won you an AFC title. You got to pay that guy. They paid Kyler Murray after 3 years for doing nothing.
Yeah, I get
46
it.
A year.
But they haven't paid Lamar yet.
Okay. I guess that's a good point. I guess you could present. There are examples on either side.
Yeah, right?
You're right.
They're all over the joint.
You're right.
The owners are all over the joint. You want to think... Talk about collusion for all this stuff. They don't collude when I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, because
I'm not paying that.
Because Lamar Jackson's agent is saying, well, Deshaun Watson, who's got potentially 25 civil suits to deal with for alleged inappropriate behavior off the field, just got a fully guaranteed contract in Cleveland and cost 3 first-round draft choices. You're not going to guarantee my 2018 league MVP all of his salary on his new contract? What the hell?
Right.
Yeah, it's a problem. We have to take a break.
That's an issue.
When we come back, second hour is full of your phone calls, so stay right where you are if you're holding at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Big, long segment coming up. We'll be sure to get to all of you holding there with your dream off-season move for the Bills. Think big, people. We're ready to do it with you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, hour number two here on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and we're talking dream offseason moves for the Bills. We want you to get creative, have a little fun, salary cap be damned, and, you know, get creative. We had some people go completely off the rails, and, you know, they're talking about pairing up Josh with Tiger Woods on the golf course. First, I don't know, match play or something.
No, just having fun.
Having fun, whatever.
Friendly round.
But we're going to get back to the phones here in short order. So if you have a dream offseason move for the Bills, share it with us at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. Or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. Leading us off in this segment is Steve in Rochester. What do you got for us, Steve?
Good afternoon, guys. Derek Henry.
Okay. That's who you want?
I think he's a free agent.
I don't
know.
No,
he's got like a $16 million cap hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you want to trade for him?
That's my dream.
So you would trade for him in a dream scenario?
Possibly, if they're willing for a trade.
Yeah. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He's got a couple avoidable years after that. $16 million cap hit, as Steve said. 10.5 base. But yeah, why, you know, you want to get one of the best running backs of a generation. I'm not going to sneeze at that. So yeah, would he put the team over the top? That's the question.
I don't know.
He'd certainly make them two dimensional. Holy crow.
Ooh, baby. Yeah.
That guy's a load, man.
Yeah. But he's,
you know how people call Josh Allen a creature? That dude's a creature. Have you seen the weight room videos on that dude?
Yeah.
He's doing. Four, like, so he's got his feet up on those bands that are wrapped around a weight rack. You know, the squat racks?
Right.
He's got his feet balanced on those, and then he's got his hands on another band balanced on the other end of the weight rack, and then he's got 150 pounds hanging off his chest. And he's doing push-ups on bands, fully elevated. He's a creature.
Yeah.
He's just, yeah, as my Brownie, as not, the kids not, like to say, he's just built different.
Yeah, you ain't catching me doing that.
Or me.
I don't think I can do a push-up right now.
I think those days are probably gone for both of us. Dream offseason move. Next up, Mark in Jersey City. What do you got for us, Mark?
Just wanted to add something to your T. Higgins thing. Knowing how frugal Mike Brown is, that's very realistic that they might try to move him.
Yeah, he might.
They still practice under a bridge next to their stadium.
Right.
That's true.
I saw it on the way in this year.
They are just now, Cincinnati's just now trying in talks of trying to get an indoor practice facility, a bubble.
Yeah, they still don't have that.
They still don't have that. Yeah, they're behind the times in a lot of ways.
Was trying to get one built there, one for years, but he never would. He would always talk about it before the season, but they never built it. But Dream, move Ed Oliver, but the guy they replace him with, I think it's realistic. Indianapolis, I know they're near and dear to your heart, Steve. They're rebuilding. They're dumping cap. I think they can move him. He's got a $20 million cap hit, and they can move him with no dead money.
DeForest Buckner.
I think he would be amazing because I'm sick and tired of seeing Chris Jones wreck games for the Chiefs, and the Bills don't have anybody like that on the interior. I mean, he's just big. He can tip passes. You put him next to Rusev and Miller, I think he would be tremendous. And then you could really wreck games with rushing four.
Yeah,
and just play coverage on the back end.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's interesting too, Mark, that you're really the first person who said start to like work on the defense and bring a defensive guy in. Almost every single call has been an offensive side of the football, wide receiver, running back, that kind of thing. First time we've gotten a defensive call.
Yeah, you're right. DeForest Buckner is a game wrecker. He just doesn't have enough help around him right now in Indy to maximize what he does. And even then, he can still flash and make four or five plays a game where you're like, dang, that guy's good. He's a handful.
Right.
But you put him on the same line as Von Miller. Think about this. Buckner's like 6'6". Rousseau's like 6'7". And they got Miller on the other side. Jeez, yay.
Yeah. Oh, they got a lot of guys.
That's a problem.
That's interesting. DeForest, get a game record down inside like Chris Jones for the Chiefs. I get it.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Yeah. Let's go to Bob in Buffalo next. What do you got for us, Bob?
Yeah, my dream would be over the summer that the Bills decide to build the stadium downtown with a dome.
Okay. So not player personnel driven dream offseason move, but stadium move. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the games, but I won't. I hate the cold. So
I got you. So yeah, after Halloween, all bets are off.
Stick to September football.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. I go to a game in September.
All right, fair enough.
Yep, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thanks, Bob.
I got you, Bob. Good one.
That was a different.
I don't mind it.
Different angle on the whole subject, and we're good with that.
I'm thinking that may be the most unrealistic one we've heard yet, but still. There you go.
Well, yeah, that's because
we're a little too far down that road.
We are. Let's go to Rich in Tonawanda next. What do you got for us, Rich?
Hello, gentlemen. You wanted something crazy and wild. I think I've got it here.
Okay.
It would save the Bills tremendous amount of salary cap money. And that is trading Stephon Diggs for Justin Jefferson. And I'm sure Minnesota wouldn't go along with that deal.
Well, probably not unless you sweeten the pot with probably something in addition to Diggs, because I don't know if straight up that gets done.
It wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, at least you're dreaming pie in the sky, Rich. That's the name of the game today. But, yeah, it would probably, in a real world, take an awful lot more. Jefferson is coming up here, though. I think next year is his last year of his rookie contract. I would tend to think, Steve, that they would pursue the fifth-year option this May just as a fail-safe, you know, in case they can't come to a contract extension agreement before his fifth year. He's a much younger player than Stephon Diggs.
I get the symmetry to that argument where you trade Diggs. Do you trade Diggs for picks? You get Justin Jefferson with those picks, and then you trade Jefferson to Buffalo and get Diggs back. There's a kind of a circle of life element to that little scenario, and I get it, but I don't know how it helps or hurts either team in the long run.
I mean, both teams.
Because both clubs are happy with that guy they got.
Yeah, they would still be tremendously talented at the receiver position, both teams. So, yeah, it would absolutely be good for both. I just don't. I think they know that they have a longer runway with Jefferson on their roster than the Bills do with Diggs, just by virtue of the fact that Diggs is about 4 or 5 years older than him. So because of that, it just doesn't fly.
Right.
Let's go to Lou in Rochester next. What do you got for us, Lou?
Hi, guys. A longtime watcher, first-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
My move would be an off-season coaching move.
Okay.
I would like to see the Buffalo Bills name Steve Tasker as their special coordinator for the next season.
Special teams coordinator. How about that?
That would be a great move. I've watched him for years, and he was great. I think he would add a lot to the special teams.
Wow. You know, I'm sitting right next to him right now, right?
I know you are. He's a special guy.
The guy's
guy.
A donkey. You want no part of him.
Yeah.
All right. I know, but you can just hold on to the clipboard and tell him what to do.
No, there you go.
I could point and say, go do that.
Yeah. Go do
go
that.
Go get him, yeah. That's where my qualifications begin and end.
Do that better. What are you doing over there?
What are you guys doing?
That's not what I told you to
what?
Do.
Yeah. No. Well, I appreciate the sentiment, Lou, but I am,
Did you ever entertain the coaching profession, or are you pretty much locked in on broadcasting when you were done?
Every player goes through those days where you think about, well, I wonder if I could do this if I was coaching, or what it would take, and what. It never appealed to me because that's not my lifestyle. It's not the
coaching is a lifestyle.
It's not a career. It's a lifestyle. It's not where I wanted my life to go. It's not a path I wanted to go down. I like doing what I'm doing with you.
It's demanding.
Way more.
There's no doubt about it.
I'll say this. For you and I, and I'm not going to belittle what we do, but there's not the stress of winning and losing for us. You and I talk about stuff, and we make it interesting. We have fun doing it, and it's great to interact with fans on a one-to-one basis, mm-hmm. and also on callers and have listeners and stuff, but nothing that you and I do, because I've been on the field too, and I know this. Nothing you and I get to do, even if the Bills go to the Super Bowl and win, you and I, like somehow, or you and I are in the booth for the radio team, right? You and I are doing the game. Nothing you and I get to do is as rewarding as working every day towards something with those guys and then going out on the field and getting it done.
Yeah.
The rewards of coaching are self-evident. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievably rewarding business with zero, and I mean zero, guarantees that you'll ever get it.
Yeah.
And you have to absolutely immerse yourself and sell out 100%, you and your family, in order to make it happen.
Right.
That's never the lifestyle I wanted to do. I that's just not for me. Yeah. I most of those, and the guys, I'll tell you this, the guys who do it, the guys who I know have been friends with and teammates, like Frank, Don Beebe's a coach,
yep.
Pete Metzlars has been an offensive line. They love it. I mean, they can't get it.
Well, you better.
Right. But it's a very enticing lifestyle and job.
Well, especially if you know the game as well as they do, you know.
Right. But the rewards are literally incalculable. You get make relationships with young men who are working hard and doing it and accomplishing things against other really quality people. It's a really competitive atmosphere against really quality people on the other side that you can really respect them, and then to compete against them and to come out on top is immensely rewarding. But man, oh man, bro, it's a grind.
Oh, it's a meat grinder.
Oh man,
sure.
There's moments of great joy surrounded by weeks, if not years, of
crushing
disappointment and. Yeah. An enormous commitment. Wow. So it's, I appreciate Lou for saying that, but man, oh man, that is
not in your wheelhouse.
I didn't want my family to have to support me through a second career like they did in my first career.
Yeah, I gotcha. Back to the phones we go for your one off-season dream move for the Bills, and to Ty in Buffalo we go. What do you got for us, Ty?
So I feel like we should I know you said one. First of all, let me start over. I want to say Steve Tasker, I'm a huge fan. My grandfather was the biggest Bills fan, God bless his soul, and it generations lived on. I feel like we should go with Saquon Barkley because he's coming up available. And this might not be too popular, but I feel like Leslie Frazier needs to go. That dime defense, that nickel, you see, we got dominated in the Cincinnati game. It wasn't just on offense. It was on defense, too. We couldn't stop a nosebleed. So those are my two dream picks.
All right, fair enough. The Barkley one is interesting. We were wondering how long it was going to take for someone to name Saquon Barkley.
We heard Derrick Henry.
Steve threw out Tony Pollard for fun.
Right.
But, yeah, Saquon Barkley. The Giants are trying to get him back. He was the catalyst for their offense this past season. And I think he finally showed this past year a lot of what he showed his rookie year, just complete game-breaking ability. And he's a rare talent, man. Explosive, elusive, physical, can run it, can catch. So, yeah, he's what they call a special breed of cat. So
yeah, he's a difference maker. So is Derrick Henry. So is Tony Pollard, in my opinion. Pollard's a great back who has yet to be, you know, a lead dog because he was behind Zeke Elliott in Dallas. Saquon was drafted because the scouting report said he was a generational talent, Hall of Fame-type talent physically. And he's all of that.
Mm-hmm. For
Derrick, sure. Derrick Henry, same thing. Derrick Henry's probably looking at that sort of stature when he calls it quits. He's got to play a long time as a running back to get there because your numbers have to be in a certain realm, you know, in a certain range. But and Barkley hasn't got it. He's going to be a free agent, so yeah, I don't hate that at all. That guy can go. He is a load. But I this is kind of where I thought the conversation would go today. I thought we'd get a lot of guys like this. Just sign that guy. Sign Saquon Barkley. Sign Derrick Henry. Sign T. Higgins. Sign Jerry Jeudy. One of those guys. You're right, and I agree. And that's Saquon Barkley was probably the top guy on my list.
And he's probably at the top of the free agent list right now. It's probably Barkley, Pollard. I mean, there's a lot of names out there, but
right.
Those two guys, at least in my estimation, are the biggest game breakers.
There might be some guys at different positions, you know, but man, oh, man.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Buffalo next. What do you got for us, James?
My two dream positions would be that I would think we would pick up the receiver Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos and Josh Jacobs, running back for the Oakland Raiders.
Oh,
yeah.
There's another running back
that's
there.
That's right. Forgot it.
You're the second guy to mention Jeudy. Any idea what you think it might take, James, to land those two?
A third-round pick and maybe trade Gabe Davis.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're going to probably have to put a player in the mix. Yes, I would agree with that. And I think it might take a little more. Well, Josh Jacobs does have miles on the tires. So maybe I don't know if a three is going to get it done, though. I just don't.
Maybe.
Especially knowing they're considering he is a free agent.
He's a free agent.
So you wouldn't have to trade anything for him.
If you're
looks
a free
like
agent running back.
There's talk they might franchise tag him in Las Vegas.
If you're and I know it's hard and nobody wants to do it. You want like a 3-year $40 million deal if you're a running back, right?
Yeah.
What if you take a 1-year $15 million deal and then go out again, have a great year and go out and do it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think they prefer the long-term contracts because you have a chance at bigger sums of guaranteed money.
None of it's guaranteed.
Well, it is if it says it is in the contract.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you sign a 3-year deal for $50 million, and you get $28 million of it guaranteed, that's better than a one-year $15 million.
Well, of course it is. Of course. I'm just saying that nobody's going to guarantee long-term money to a running back.
It's probably unlikely. I would tend to agree with you. I mean, $15 million is nothing to sneeze at. Don't get me wrong. But it seems as though running back, which is the most punishing position in the league, I think most people would agree with that, even though guys are carrying it less and less now than ever.
Right.
I think running backs want guarantees for those risks that they take out there, which might be greater in terms of injury rate than any other position. Of course, that's the exact reason why teams do not want to give them the guaranteed money.
That's right. It's the same reason a player doesn't – is. It takes a lot of courage to bet on yourself for a year in the NFL, particularly at that position.
Yeah,
running
that
back.
Position especially.
You know, because you never know if you're going to get a, you know, a tib-fib break or something, you know. So, yeah, that's – but nevertheless, the option is still there, and it seems like it might be enticing because even if you sign a three-year deal, none of it's guaranteed. If you sign a three-year deal for $50 million, you still got to play to get all that money. And it's no different than if you get hurt and they just said, well, you're not, you know, you're done. So, I don't know. These running backs, there's a ton of running backs. We've been talking about them. There's a ton of running backs out there. Saquon and Josh Jacobs are just two of them. Pollard's the third
one.
That's a crowded market.
Yeah, I'm very interesting to see what the market bears with that much of a supply of not just talent, but high-end talent. You know what I mean? Let's go to Mike in Niagara Falls next for a dream off-season move. What do you got, Mike?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say Steve Tasker. I was a huge fan growing up. You came to my high school back in 94 in Utica.
Yeah, how about that?
Awesome. Thanks for saying hi.
Think the offensive dream move, there's actually two of them. You guys got a hell of a team, but I don't think you got the right coaches. Steve, you need to come back and do special teams.
Wow, look at this.
Jim Kelly needs to come back and do coach or quarterbacks. And Bruce Smith needs to come back and do defense.
That's your dream offseason move. Okay.
Yeah, and then the ultimate move will be to get the GOAT to come out of retirement.
And who's that?
The GOAT, you know who the GOAT is.
Who, Marv?
The Brady.
Oh, Brady.
No. Brady.
Wait.
I'm not doing
that. Wait. Mike, you want Tom Brady to come out of retirement and put Josh Allen on the bench?
Yes. I'm a Brady fan.
I guess so.
Apparently.
No, Josh Allen, he's a beast. Like I said, you guys got the right players. You just don't got the coaches.
Right, Mike.
All right.
You're entitled to your opinion, I suppose. 37 and 13 says a lot to me, so I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. Let's try Frank in Williamsville next. What you got for us, Frank?
Well, since we're talking about coaching absurdity, how about we trade Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier to Kansas City for Andy Reid?
All right, I'll give you points for creativity there. Yeah. I'll give you points for that. That was clever, Frank. Well done.
Good day.
Thanks for the call. Hard to argue with a two-time Super Bowl winner and a guy who's
been to
probably
10 conference championship games.
Probably going to finish his career in the top four of coaching victories in the history of the game. So, and I would say, I think this is safe to say, Steve, and tell me if I'm out of line. The best offensive schemer since Bill Walsh. Would you go along with that?
There's some stuff about Andy Reid that nobody.
I mean,
else
Mike
does.
Shanahan was pretty good.
Mike Shanahan is very good. So's Kyle Shanahan. So, Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh was innovative and actually was way ahead of everything anybody else was doing at the time. Where the ball was coming out and their short passing game was considered kind of part of their running game. And it was so easy to complete passes. Up until that time, completing 60% of your passes was like the gold standard.
It was astronomical.
It was unbelievable. Joe Montana was doing it and everybody's like, oh my God, you can't beat that.
right? I mean, it's like you're going to complete two out of every three passes. How is that, you know? And people are like flabbergasted. Now you got guys going. Now you guys going 70%, and it's, you know. So Bill Walsh was innovative, but and Andy Reid.
I would almost put him in the same class. He's
yeah.
I don't think he's quite Walsh, but he's not far.
Yeah, it's a little different, but yeah, I like the stuff Andy Reid does with shifts, motions, with Travis Kelce, with all the shovel passes in the red zones, the red zone offensive and innovation down there. Really good stuff.
He's not afraid to do anything. He's got the washing machine spin cycle pre-snap thing.
Exactly. That's and a lot of
it's a lot of coordination there.
A little quirky and a little bit outlandish, but nevertheless,
it usually works.
And I there's something too to be said about his success before that in Philly, where he got to four straight
NFC title games, five total,
and in four straight went to a Super Bowl. So that's big.
10 conference title games in five in each conference. That's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
I know he's won two Super Bowls, but that's on the second line on my tombstone, right after two-time Super Bowl champ. The second line is 10 conference title games. Seriously, like
five
that.
NFC,
I don't think people realize how extraordinary that is. With two different franchises in two different conferences, arguably almost in two different eras of football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 20 years apart.
I mean, that's on line two of the tombstone. I mean, name, two-time Super Bowl champ, and third line is that. That's it. Do the birth date and dead on later. Forget that. Yeah. Nobody gives a hoot.
Yeah, I would say that, Andy's got and it almost happened because Mahomes takes so much of the attention, and Andy Reid does too, but there's so much going on, and it's such a current state of affairs where they just won the Super Bowl that you kind of, you know, you're still riding that wave. It's hard to step back and look at the total of it, but man, oh man, it is incredibly impressive.
Yeah. Break time for us here. More of your phone calls, though. Your dream offseason move for the Bills. Lay it on us next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, back here on One Bills Live, still taking your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, your one dream offseason move for the Bills. Some of you have gotten pretty creative. We appreciate it. We go back to the phones, and Bree in Buffalo is next. What do you got for us, Bree?
Hi. I think we should get DeAndre Hopkins and trade a first-round pick and Gabe Davis for him so that it would help Allen and Diggs relieve some stress. Because it's all on them to do it all, and I don't think that they need that. I think that they need to release the stress.
Okay. You're not the first person to mention DeAndre Hopkins, so I respect it, and thanks for the call, Bree. A first end, Gabe. That's pretty steep. But
for a 32-year-old or 31-year-old.
31-year-old, yeah.
Meh.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I would do it.
I might do it, yeah. But a 27 pick, yeah, sure. I wouldn't do it for an 8 or 9 or 10.
No.
So, yeah, maybe. Okay. I say
you were very easily sold
I'll
on
say
it.
This because DeAndre can play.
Yes.
That guy's better
he's special.
Than a lot of people in the league, and he is a clutch player. He is a throw me the ball guy when you gotta have it guy.
Yeah.
Like Diggs.
Game on the line and make a play.
And that will give a real choice to defenses that they have to make and get right every snap, otherwise they're gonna get beat. And Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins on the field at the same time is a major problem because those guys are separators.
Yeah. Bob on a cell is next. What you got for us, Bob?
When Luke Saban was coach here, this is an in-house move. When Luke Saban was coach here, he brought in a very good running back from St. Louis by the name of Bobby Moore. And he made him into a great wide receiver Ahmad Rashad. I see possibly the same thing in Hines. Hines has got speed, good hands, and he can get open.
Okay, so I'm guessing your dream is to see more of him in the offense.
But as a wide receiver, strictly a wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
I don't hate it. I mean, it's a throwing league, so.
Yeah, you got to catch it if you're going to be on offense. And Hines has certainly got speed for that. We saw what he can do with the ball in his hands on kick returns. If he was, I don't know that I would put him at the number two ahead of Gabe Davis right at the moment, because I want him as my number one kick returner in the game. And if you're going to do that, you don't want him doing other stuff, too much of other stuff. So I would disagree with you there, but there's no question he's got the athleticism and the skills to do it, to make a really good player as a receiver.
Yeah. Nick in Eden is next. What do you got for us, Nick?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Well, what I thought about was, historically, the Bills haven't been too good in drafting in the second round. So I think if they use, you know, like drafting Cody Ford and Zay Jones, so I think if they could go out, use a second round pick on someone like Jerry Jeudy, acquire him, he's a great route runner, he's a guy with speed, I think someone like him would be such an ideal fit for the Bills.
All right. You're not the first to mention his name either, Nick. Thanks for the call.
And I get it. A second round guy. Well, you know.
And a separator.
James Cook's a pretty good second rounder so far. We'd like to see more of him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the other? A.J. Epenesa was a second rounder, wasn't he?
Yes. Boogie Basham.
Boogie Basham was a second rounder. Yeah, I mean, you can go down the
list. Deion Dawkins was a second rounder, but that was the draft prior to Bean's arrival.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah, I get you, because we've stunk at a certain thing before, so let's pass on our opportunity to stink at it and get somebody we can really depend on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people are saying get D-Hop, and I understand why. Jeudy is a much different kind of receiver, but I think he is a kind of receiver that could help Josh, because – he's an intermediate area separator due to his route running prowess.
Right.
He's got proven production, maybe not to the level of Hopkins, but he might cost you a little less. So,
right.
And he's younger. He's 24. So there are a lot of things to like about him. And he's got a year left on his rookie deal, so you can kind of make a decision. I would think if you're trading major assets for him, you're probably hoping to keep him long term. Sometimes that's easier said than done, though. So,
right.
But it's interesting. There's no doubt it's interesting. Let's go to Ron in Lackawanna next. What we got, Ron?
Yeah, I've got two trades in mind.
Okay.
How about Jermaine Edmonds to Seattle for DK Metcalf and Ed Oliver to Tennessee for Derrick Henry?
Oh, loading up on offense.
On the offense.
Yeah, you're loading up.
What did you got to say?
Well, they'd have to sign and then trade Edmonds, because, as you know, he's going to be a free agent. So that would take a little bit more lifting to get that accomplished.
Seattle doesn't have to wait. All they have to do is wait for Tremaine to become available,
right?
You know, when his contract runs out in a few weeks. So that's one thing. The other thing, trade Ned Oliver for what'd he say? For
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. Good luck with that. But, yeah, if this is, hey, we're dreaming, let's dream.
Sure.
You can get it done. So you'd have Derrick Henry, and who's the guy we traded Edmonds for?
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. I like it.
I love how Steve is so easily convinced.
I like
by
it.
These
well, listen,
deals.
Listen, there isn't a single.
I love it. Give me some of that.
Let's trade, right? Because some of these trades are just a hair one-sided.
Why do I think when we see Brandon Bean next week, he's going to be like, guys, you're killing me.
You're killing me with
this
stuff.
Absolutely
what
killing me.
What are you doing?
Just trying to get through a show,
shut
honest.
Shut up about that.
Then we say, wait, we didn't say it.
Why?
The callers were
us.
It was the callers, yeah.
Why? And now he's going to get you know, criticized for not trading Ed Oliver for Derrick Henry.
You guys are killing me. Absolutely killing me. Let's go to the tweet sheet, which is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. What's your dream offseason move? Jack leads us off, and he says, trade for Mike Evans. Not sure what it would cost. Tampa may be rebuilding. It's an all-in move for 1 year and would give us the big sure-handed outside stud to punish defenses or draw coverage away from Steph, allowing the air assault to commence. Also draft a speed wide receiver in one-on-one or two.
Right. So he's
Mike Evans isn't enough. Let's go. Let's draft a guy, too, for gosh sakes. And I think he's saying that because he knows that you're really doing Mike Evans for a year, and then because his contract is going to be up again, and you know, you're still paying Diggs a boatload of money, so you're going to have somebody that's in the pipeline behind Mike Evans.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. What do you trade for him,
Steve
though?
Is giving check marks to every single one of these that has come down the pike. Check. Yeah. Give it a check.
They're
huge. I'm for it.
They're hugely. We're trading for Mike Evans, and we're not giving up anything. There's nothing. We haven't said we give up future considerations, and we're going to get Mike Evans.
Well, he said he's not sure what it would cost.
Right.
But get him in.
Yeah,
we'll bring him in.
We'll bring him in for a bag of donuts, and then we'll draft a speed wideout in round one.
Yeah. Be good to go.
Presto changeo, man.
Good to go.
We're back in the saddle.
John on the tweet sheet says, Ben Powers from Baltimore, sign him to a multi-year deal. Protecting Josh should be priority number one. I can get on board with that, John.
Give him the same kind of deal you gave Mitch Morse a few years ago. You know,
Ben Powers
kind of
is very much
deal.
An in-vogue name for the free agent guard market for Buffalo ever since he was suggested by Matt Bowen on ESPN.com. So,
right.
I think he would be a good fit. Younger guy than Roger Saffold. I think he's only 27. So, yeah, signing him to a multi-year deal would be prudent. You know, the guy's probably got 3 to 5 really solid years left in him where he'd be still at his peak. So, yeah, I like that one. Can I like that one before you do?
Yes, you can like that one. And this is, you know, that's a guy that has proven his worth at league level.
This is no chance.
You're not talking about a chance on a draft pick, even a high draft pick. This is a guy that can get it done, and he plays the exact position you're looking for that you've been thinned out of because of contracts. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Break time for us. Some final thoughts on the tweet sheet next here on One Bills Live. All right, here we be, One Bills Live, final segment of the day, and we're going to finish with some thoughts on the tweet sheet in terms of your dream scenario for the Bills in terms of an off-season move. One dream off-season move. Rob says, first and foremost, build a power O-line. So he has a couple other things. We asked for one. So that's his first and foremost. So we'll go with that. Butch says, dream offseason move is signing the tackle from the Titans, Lawan, and moving Dawkins inside to guard and look into Jarvis Landry and OBJ on short-term deals. I think Lawan might be done. His body's breaking down.
Yeah.
I think he's going to retire. Doug, for offense, draft Osiris Torrance, the Florida prospect, and trade for Derrick Henry.
I was saying this just before we went on. There was a bunch of mock drafts out. Somebody's got us taking Osiris Torrance at 27.
That would be Daniel Jeremina.
Yeah.
From NFL.com.
A fairly reputable friend of the show as well.
Yeah. And
so that could happen.
You do a lot worse than Osiris Torrance at guard. So
yes, very much
I
so.
I would sign up for that in a second. Philip says, get Tremaine Edmonds back at $15 million a year. And finally, Hot Wings BFLO says, trade Ed Oliver for Jerry Jeudy. That is the third time we have seen acquiring Jerry Jeudy via trade. Twice, the trade swap involved Ed Oliver. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but still.
Interesting submissions today.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
People are creative, man.
Josh Reed will be in for me tomorrow, paired up here with Steve. They'll have Tyler Dunn on the show. They'll see you at 1:00. I'll be back with this cat on Monday, remotely. Enjoy, everybody.